Yeah, see, that's one of my random takes on life is I want someone to write a long article about why Jason Biggs has failed to realize his potential as an actor.
His potential?
Yes.
Come in. Oh, Jim, you're here. Boy, it's been a long time since we've had the little father-son chat. Well, this is the female form, and they have focused on the breasts, which are used primarily to feed.
I'm sorry.
But Jim, I'm going to just leave these books here for you to peruse at your leisure.
Wait.
Well, safer than a tube sock.
One thing I didn't realize, actually, is this. So this is going to come up on Worst Take of the Week later in the week, Friday at 11:15. And I actually put out a poll on Twitter. And the surprising thing is I asked the question, has Jason Biggs realized his potential as an actor? And 57% of people said yes.
Right.
Which means that the concept of my take was incorrect. I thought it was like, I was coming out of a standpoint.
Well, there are 43% that, I mean, you could win an election with that, with 43% sometimes, if there's a third party candidate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, what do you mean? How does that disprove your... There are 43% of Americans, or at least people that responded to your Twitter poll, think that Jason Biggs has not reached his full potential.
This is true, but it seems like
quit focusing on the negative.
But the slight majority, I guess, feel that he has realized his potential.
Right. Everything I've ever seen him in, he kind of acts like his shtick is acting kind of nervous and awkward and just not necessarily capable of doing whatever he's supposed to be doing in that plot, and that's his deal.
I just have a hard
he's
time.
He's reached his potential.
Like in sports, you can see someone who's a highly touted prospect
uh-huh.
the first time he gets on the field, and you can sort of understand, like, all right, this guy comes up when he's 21 or 22, basketball, baseball, hockey, football, what have you, and you kind of have a sense for what their potential is. I have no idea how to figure that out when it comes to music or acting.
Well, I mean, at the very least, you could look at people who do know what they're talking about, and I don't recall people hailing Jason Biggs as the next big phenomenon in acting. This was not like Leo DiCaprio after he played that differently abled kid in Gilbert Grape or whatever.
Okay.
Like, this is not. There was nothing about American Pie where people were saying, "Well, boy, I tell you what, we are witnessing the birth of the next great thespian of America." Is that can Hollywood prevent him from spending all his time on Broadway? I don't think we had that. I don't think that was never a Jason Biggs take by anybody.
I was under the impression that if you're really young and you get in a good movie and you play a good role, that you somehow have potential.
How can you be under the impression that child actors always end up doing well? And he wasn't a child actor per se, but you just said young. No,
yes.
No. But you just said you're
under
the impression. Like it's the exception when somebody goes on and is Ron Howard or Natalie Portman.
Definitely.
Let's say Natalie Portman, because I only saw her when she was first a preteen, so a little bit younger than Jason Biggs. I think her first big role may have been The Professional, in which she, I'm guessing, it was about 12 years old or so and got taken in by this professional assassin.
Yes.
And she obviously went on to do very well. But for every Natalie Portman, there's numerous young actors that go down in flames.
And that's what fascinates me.
Right.
That is what fascinates me.
Well, like, okay, Napoleon Dynamite, whatever that guy's name is. Did you think that he was destined for greatness? Why not?
He looks too weird.
He ended up doing that. I guess the biggest thing he did that I can remember was that movie with Will Ferrell where they played the figure skaters.
Yeah, that guy looks too weird for me.
Well, Jason Biggs looks like what? George Clooney?
He looks more normal than the guy who is in Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay.
Is that racist against the guy in Napoleon Dynamite? I don't think so.
No. I'm trying to work my way around how that could not possibly be construed as racist.
Probably,
they're both just white dudes, right?
Yeah, they're both just white dudes.
Okay.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Just a couple of plain old white dudes.
Yes. So long story short, Jason Biggs apparently has realized his potential as an actor without really adjusting for figuring out how much potential he actually had in the first
place. And that was mostly like, now Eugene Levy, who's the bulk of who we heard in that clip. I don't know why Landry played a clip of Eugene Levy, who's the father of Jason Biggs.
And that's well known.
There's no Jason Biggs acting
in
there.
That's fine.
Eugene Levy
made
it as an actor because now he plays a very defined character usually, which is almost a more, you know what? He's a more refined version of Jason Biggs and just a better actor. amateur at it. You can watch Eugene Levy and be like, okay, this guy's got something to him. He's in these like fake documentaries and everything. And he's very, very entertaining. There's something to this guy. And he's never going to be a leading man, but there's something to him as an actor. Jason Biggs, I don't think people feel that way.
6:45, we're going to have our next set of passes for Texans Field Day. And right now we are going to kick off the day with Landry's top five, and these are the top five most intriguing storylines heading into Texans training camp, which begins tomorrow and players report today at West Virginia.
Training camp is upon us. These are the five most intriguing stories heading into training camp. Number five, we'll go 5-1. Number five, can A.J. Boye be replaced? Can Kevin Johnson be the guy? Can the Texans replace A.J. Boye in that secondary? Toughest decision they had to make this offseason, whether or not to pay him. They let him go to Jacksonville. Now he needs to be replaced. That's the number five question heading into training camp.
That's an interesting way to put it, I suppose, because A.J. Boye replaced Kevin Johnson originally, and the question was, can A.J. Boye replace Kevin Johnson? In my mind, it's more that, can Kevin Johnson stay healthy? Because this is a guy who's got a slighter frame, but it's not afraid to come up and stick his nose in places. I don't know if you'd put his body weight to blame for his foot issue, but I think it's more for me, can Kevin Johnson, is he healthy? A, and B, can he remain healthy the entire season? The other thing is that I think the pass rush really, really helped highlight A.J. Boye's skill. A.J. was able to play a pretty aggressive brand of football because the pass rush in the back half of last season ended up being so good. So I'm not as concerned about this.
Number four question heading into training camp. The receivers not named DeAndre. Can any receiver, I'm asking any of you guys not named DeAndre Hopkins, step up and emerge as the number two? Will it be Fuller? Will it be Miller? There's a lot of questions. Can one of those guys step up, not named DeAndre?
And I also think it's a spot where they might want to consider adding somebody to that fifth spot, because right now it's a competition between, you know, Wendell Williams, Justin Hardy, Chris Thompson, Deontay Gray, and a bunch of guys nobody actually knows. I would say one big question is, this is year four of O'Brien. We've talked for a long time about the slot position, how devastating it could be in this offense, but haven't really seen it. And Braxton Miller's in year two. It's an important year.
I was listening to Wes Welker, who was interviewed by Ross Tucker on his podcast, and Welker spent a good chunk of time talking about how at slot, especially, it's so much more about reading coverages and understanding where the pockets and the holes are in the coverage. So that's what you really hope for with Braxton Miller, is that this guy who's only entering his third season ever as a wide receiver, something clicks with him, both through experience and Wes Welker working with him, and that he emerges as finally the slot that you thought you might be getting when Bill O'Brien came in.
Five biggest questions heading into Texans training camp as players report today. We've already asked, can A.J. Boye be replaced? Can a receiver not named DeAndre step up? The number three question heading into Texans training camp, Dwayne Brown's holdout. When's it going to end? How long is it going to go? Is it going to happen at all? What are we going to see? I think most people close to the situation say we will not see Dwayne Brown when the players report, but this will be something to keep an eye on.
I'm predicting an over and under of 5 days. Five days of training camp holdout, I suppose. I don't know what he's hoping to accomplish. I mean, I guess I know what he's hoping to accomplish. I don't know what he and his agent, Creative Artist Agencies, what does AA stand for?
Yes.
Creative Artist Agency. I don't know if they think they have any shot at success at all. I personally think they do not.
Yeah, I think they want the Texans to fear a season in which they're starting one of the worst offensive tackle groups in the NFL.
Yeah.
But the one thing about the NFL is it seems like they are, and I guess I give them credit for running their business, I think they're actually willing to make their teams worse in order to not give out those contracts. And I have a, even though I don't know if I would do my business exactly that way, I do have a healthy respect for that.
Yeah.
Because if Dwayne Brown, I mean, I don't know about, I'm assuming that he is going to report late in training camp, but if they ever went into the season without Dwayne Brown, I'm going to predict this team to go 7-9 and not even think about
it. Based on Dwayne Brown and Dwayne Brown alone?
Well, everything else. I mean, everything's big.
Well, no,
right?
I'm saying, but like that would be enough to, like, that's a game or two for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. Yes.
Okay.
Number two question heading into Texans training camp as players report today. Camp starts tomorrow. J.J. Watt. What are we going to see from J.J. Watt? Best defensive player in the league a couple years ago. Back surgery on the sideline. How does he bounce back? What will we see from the face of the franchise, J.J. Watt?
You think he's going to play in the preseason?
Oh boy, I think he'll get a few snaps. If I'm trying to put myself in his position, if I were him, having been out of football for so long, I'd want at least one series in the first preseason game. I also think he's not going to play inside a whole bunch this year. I think they're going to use him as a more, he'll be more of a conventional 4-3 defensive ends in a lot of respects this year.
That makes sense from a health standpoint.
Dude, man, you go down in there, your back gets torqued so many ways trying to take on double teams from those big fat freaks.
That doesn't sound good.
It's just, it's not like a... It's not the other kind of double teams from big fat freaks. This is like these are grown men, 340-pounders that are trying to bury you into the turf. No more of that. Just leave him on the outside. Let him rush the passer, which he wasn't actually all that good at 4 or 5 years ago. He's turned himself into a good 4-3 defensive end.
The number one question about the Houston Texans as they head to training camp: quarterback position. Tom Savage, Deshaun Watson. Who are we going to see start at quarterback? What are we going to see from Tom Savage if he is the starter as we expect? When do we see Deshaun Watson? Is Deshaun Watson going to look good in preseason? I could sit here for the next 4 hours, the entire show, just listing quarterback questions. All about the quarterback. It's been about the quarterback here for a long time. Nothing changed this year. Who's going to be the quarterback? How's the quarterback going to play?
This is the first question I have for Tom Savage. Not for him specifically, but the first thing I want to see, and that you're not going to see until the preseason begins: getting rid of the ball consistently on time.
Yep.
Not making your offensive line look worse than you are. That's challenge numero uno, because there's nothing worse than having a young quarterback in there and all of a sudden it's 2nd and 17 because your quarterback didn't get rid of the ball. And look, Tom's not the kind of guy that's going to be able to sprint his way out of a lot of trouble. So that's what I want to see in the first preseason game.
One of the things about this whole quarterback battle is this team has a tough schedule in the first like 8 or 9 games, when they play teams that are playoff contenders or teams that are expected to have good defenses. Jacksonville, Cincinnati, the Patriots, Tennessee, Kansas City. They play at Seattle. They play Indianapolis. And that's all before they hit a bye week. So that's going to be interesting to see how he survives that schedule. I do fully expect him to be the starting quarterback week one, barring something unforeseen. There is a interesting Texans player they brought in yesterday that I would like to discuss. And can we reflect for a moment on the most underappreciated star in the city of Houston next on Mad Radio?